Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, they look like a nice group of people. Who would have thought that these people, amongst all people, were the ones dealing drugs in northeastern Montana? They just look like a couple of nice young boys here. Couple of nice young men. Who would have thought, with all the beautiful face tattoos, obviously these guys are artists. Who would have thought that they would be drug dealers with face tattoos like this? This one guy here, he's got like the Harvey Two-Face thing from a Batman movie going on. He just did the face tattoos on one side of his face. He's got the whole half of his face tattooed. He's got about two-thirds of his neck tattooed. What is that, a couple of teardrops under the left eye there? But that side of the face is no tattoos. Who would have thought these guys were drug dealers? Oh, for Pete's sake. Kelly in Glasgow, he's got the BS buzz there. You want to know what's going on in Glasgow, you go to the buzz. And anyway, he sent me this. Some dandy-looking characters. This was a news clipping from the Northern Plains Independent in Wolf Point. Three individuals were arrested on drug-related charges on East Dawson Street in Wolf Point, Tuesday, January 28th, about 4 p.m. Jesus Allen Avetia, Natasha Louise Monsavais, no face tattoos there, and Danny Garcia were each initially charged with possession with intent to distribute fentanyl and suspected meth. All three are from Colorado. Okay, are they citizens of Colorado, or are they on an ICE hold now, on an immigration hold? Who knows? But man, yeah, who would have thought that these people were dealing drugs? Just a couple of nice visitors from Colorado. Harvey Two-Face there, drug cartel Harvey Two-Face, and the other guy with some other fancy face tattoos. Apparently, law enforcement agencies involved included the Roosevelt County Sheriff's Office, the FBI, the Valley County Sheriff's Office, the Montana Highway Patrol, and the Fort Peck Tribes Department of Law and Justice. Let's see, Monday, February 3rd, waiting to receive all the discovery information before determining what charges to file in district court. I wonder, I'll have to go see if Roosevelt County has their jail roster online. Let me type that up there real fast. I'll see what we find for you here. Yeah, there might be a jail roster. Yeah, let's go look at that one. Okay, I'll go look at that during the break. We got a show to do right now. Speaking of jail rosters, about 2 weeks ago, there was we believe it's an illegal alien put behind bars in the Gallatin County Jail in Bozeman. And so I thought, man, it sure seems like there's a lot of immigration holds, a lot of ICE holds, a lot of criminals that are in the Gallatin County Jail on an immigration hold. So I went and looked at their jail roster 2 weeks ago. They had a dozen people on an immigration hold. Well, you can add four more to the list. Three men, one woman arrested for armed burglary on ICE holds. And that was in Belgrade. Haven't confirmed if any face tattoos were involved.
What if...
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we got the phone lines open for you here for the full hour. Anything and everything you want to talk about, 406-294-0970. Or if you want to jump in on the conversation, what I'm yapping about, yeah, give us a ring or send us a message on the Montana Talks app. So oftentimes people ask me, hey, Aaron, what do you talk about on your show? And I'll say, well, you know, typically we talk about news and politics, but really it's anything people in Montana want to talk about. So sometimes it could be, you know, an agriculture-related story, or maybe just a Montanan doing something cool somewhere, right? But then there's days where you can do all the show prep in the world, and one phone call will take the show in a completely different direction. Or there could be a news update at the top of the hour, and all of a sudden, that's what everybody wants to talk about. I remember one day in particular when the news was being reported that the Biden administration wanted to ban gas stoves. They wanted to ban gas stoves. Man, that really fired people up. I mean, with the push of a button, just like the... you're cooking eggs over a gas stove and the flame goes on. Everybody wanted to talk about how absurd it was that Joe Biden wanted to ban gas stoves. There's some new information that has now come to light on which organization was pressing for a ban on gas stoves. And guess who was paying this organization? You were. With your taxpayer dollars. Wait till you hear about that story. But yeah, we got phone lines open for you. Real quick before we get into the phone calls. So yeah, the Bozeman Daily Chronicle has a story here. Four people were arrested late Thursday in connection with an alleged burglary along Frontage Road near Belgrade. After a victim reported being threatened with a firearm, people in the area reported hearing gunshots. All four of the suspects in what sounded like this burglary at an apartment building are now being held on an immigration retainer or an ICE hold for Immigration and Customs Enforcement at the Gallatin County Detention Center. The Bozeman Daily Chronicle has that story. And back to Wolf Point here for a second. So I went and looked at the jail roster for the Roosevelt County Sheriff's Office. One of the suspects here, who's now been charged. They have the charges listed on the Roosevelt County jail roster here. That charge apparently is criminal possession with intent to distribute. So meth and fentanyl, as we told you earlier. But I noticed that one of the suspects is from Aurora, Colorado. Does Aurora, Colorado ring a bell at all? That's why I want to find out, like the four people in Belgrade, the four people that are now on an ICE hold, why are they on an immigration retainer? What country are they from? I mean, if this was an apartment burglary, apartment invasion, what is the violent Venezuelan gang Tren de Aragua known for? Home burglaries, home invasions. So where are these ICE hold suspects from? Why don't we, the people, get that information, right? So I actually reached out to U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement to get that information. But we shouldn't have to pull teeth to get this type of information. We shouldn't have to call the sheriff's office. We shouldn't have to call the county attorney to get this information. This information should be put out to the public. Not just, well, immigration hold. We don't know if they're illegal or if they were on some sort of a work permit. We don't know what country they're from. Now we're just going to, again, we shouldn't have to pull this information out of Gallatin County. This information should be offered up to the public. But speaking of apartments, what was Tren de Aragua known for in Aurora, Colorado? Taking over entire apartment complexes and dealing drugs and committing all sorts of other violence. That's why I find it pretty interesting that one of the, you know, drug dealing suspects arrested in Wolf Point, Montana, is listed as being from Aurora, Colorado. All right, 406-294-0970 is the number for you. Jeff in Polson, it sounds like you watched the Super Bowl last night. What did you want to share with our listeners?
Before I do that, I want to say that I have a very good authority that Flathead County also has four ICE detainees. You might want to take a look up there.
Well, yeah, that wouldn't surprise me. Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me because the Border Patrol just arrested a bunch of people. Thompson Falls, Columbia Falls, Hungry Horse. So it wouldn't surprise me if some of those people have already been shipped out, but it wouldn't surprise me if some of them are still sitting in the jail.
Right. But what I want to call in originally about was you gave an excellent update on the culture shift in the Super Bowl last night. This afternoon, and I read a story this morning, though, that the singer Lauren Daigle the young lady, 33 years old, who sang the national anthem. 5 years ago, she had been canceled by New Orleans Mayor LaToya Cantrell after she sang at a Christian anti-lockdown event during COVID. So Cantrell made it her personal mission to smear Lauren and try to get her deleted from upcoming career performances. So that was 5 years ago. Now, 5 years later, Lauren Daigle sings at the Super Bowl and did a fantastic job. And meanwhile, LaToya Cantrell is under a wide-ranging federal probe. The city has asked the judge to stay the lawsuit, but I wonder what Mayor Cantrell is getting probed for.
Interesting. Yeah, hold that thought. Hold that thought. This very interesting update. Jeff and Polson, stand by. I'll come back to you after this, and then more callers on the phone lines as well. If you...
Taking your calls live, 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, I got to the Super Bowl party a little late last night. You know, we were running kids around and everything like that, and so I missed a lot of the warm-up festivities, missed the kickoff, the national anthem and everything, but that's all right. But so I didn't get a chance to see Lauren Daigle. Lauren Daigle is an incredible Christian singer and artist, and so, yeah, apparently she sang a version of America the Beautiful right there on the 50-yard line, and I listened to a brief clip of it during the break. It looked awesome. It had a New Orleans twist on it with some of the other, performers that were there with her. But, yeah, I went and pulled up this New York Post story, and Jeff and Polson was telling us how, yeah, back in 2020, the mayor publicly chastised Daigle after the singer gave an impromptu concert at an outdoor prayer service hosted by a Christian worship leader. This was an outdoor prayer service, and the liberal mayor of New Orleans was saying, "How dare you show up at an outdoor prayer service? Good night." And so, yeah, so anyway, in this New York Post story, Lauren Daigle is talking about how redemptive it was to be able to be there for the Super Bowl and to have this much bigger victory, especially after the way that New Orleans mayor just, so sickeningly went after her. Let me see here before I go back to Jeff and Polson. Yeah, I didn't see the national anthem either. Apparently, they had a guy from New Orleans sing the national anthem, and I was laughing because John Jackson, the Joker from X, said, "Hey, it's Sexual Chocolate, Sexual Chocolate." Remember the singer from the movie Coming to America? But this is the part where Sexual Chocolate guy is—it's not Sexual Chocolate guy, but it sounds like him—is singing the national anthem. And then all of a sudden, Donald Trump's face shows up on the Jumbotron, and you can hear the crowd start to cheer.
Through the perilous fight, or the rain.
All right, there you go. And it keeps going on there with the Sexual Chocolate guy. Jeff and Polson, thanks for sharing that Lauren Daigle story with us. Anything else you want to share before we get to the next caller?
I was just going to say that, yeah, as she's rising, LaToya Cantrell's fallen. Apparently, there's been a bunch of, and this is a big surprise, a bunch of corruption in New Orleans. Somebody investigating Cantrell got fired for corruption in her office back in 2019, and so the feds are now probing that. I think we can just chalk up a couple of more wins to our beloved dictator, Trump the First, long may he reign. I say that.
Yeah. Well, and, what corruption is there not in the, mayor's office in Louisiana? I mean, I think we saw the fruits of some of that corruption with the, January 1st terror attack, where how much money have they gotten to upgrade their security? And then they had barricades on Bourbon Street that weren't even working. I mean, incompetence at the least, but likely corruption as well. Jeff, thanks for the call. Thanks for sticking around. Next up on the phone lines, let's go to Tom in Bozeman. Tom, what's on your mind?
Hey, good morning, Aaron. Representative Jane Gillette's got an important bill before the legislature right now having to do with voter eligibility. After the craziness of the 60s, a very liberal group of Montanans passed the current constitution, and they said, you've got to be a resident for 30 days to vote. Resident as opposed to domicile. Domicile means, I'm residing somewhere with the intent to remain there. They purposely didn't use that word domicile because that indicates an intent to remain. So they used the word residence. So I could have more than one residence. So if I'm an 18-year-old kid who's from Colorado who comes to school at Montana State, I'm a freshman. I've been here for over 30 days. Montana allows you to vote, which is absolute craziness. My kids went to school in Virginia and Ohio, and they both voted absentee ballot in Montana. Anyway, this bill is designed to correct that that mistake that's been in the statute for over 50 years now. Students that are here with no intention of remaining, that are here on a temporary basis, their parents live in another state, and there's nothing else indicating any intention to remain in Montana, they're not entitled to vote, and they shouldn't be entitled to vote. So I think the Legislative Service Commission looked to an Ohio statute in this regard, which clearly says, hey, if you're a student, you're not a resident for voting purposes. Unless you can show otherwise that you've got an intent to remain through other things, employment, paying taxes, driver's license, hunting license, et cetera, et cetera.
So what's the bill number? What's the bill number, and what would it change it to instead of what it currently is?
I don't know specifically, but it's a change to Title 13 of the Montana Code having to do with residency requirements for voting purposes. And I think it's very important to keep all of these, these kids who are all going to vote, Democrat. There's one Montana representative who I think lost his seat. They gerrymandered his seat, stuck in downtown Bozeman. He's from Park County, and I think he lost his seat by 20 votes, a seat that he had held for a long time.
Yeah, and he was ahead on election night. He was ahead the day after the election. He was ahead several days after the election. But, with the mess of last-minute voter registration on through the election deadline, they had a mad rush of people there. That's why they were still counting vote, people were still voting at like 2 o'clock in the morning. That's why they waited to call the U.S. Senate race until close to 2:30 in the morning because there were so many people still waiting in line because of the last minute rush, last minute registration. That was Marty Malone. He's got a great agricultural background. He'd been Park County Commissioner. And after the gerrymandered legislative districts, they basically, cut out the rural voice and the elitist university districts in Bozeman and Missoula get more power. Because the way they chopped up all those seats under the Democrat controlled legislative redistricting. Yeah. And so now that, people in Park County, especially out in farm and ranch country, really don't get representation. Hey, appreciate the call, Tom. Great to hear from you. One thing I think you can do, I was, because I was asking, hey, what was the bill number there? But what you can also do, though, when you go to the state legislative website, like, for example, he just said, well, hey, it's a bill from Representative Jane Gillette. Well, you go to leg.mt.gov, leg.mt.gov, and you click on the bill finder, something like that, button, and then you can pull up, and then you just search Gillette, and you can see all the bills that she's sponsoring. So, in fact, if I'm not mistaken, House Bill 413, HB 413. That's what I just pulled up. That was number three on the list. So I'm assuming that is the bill that that Tom is referring to, HB 413 in the Montana House. Tom, thanks for the call. Let's go to Chet in Belgrade next. Chet, what's on your mind? Thanks for the call.
Hello, good morning, Aaron. I have two items, and I do like to keep things local. I don't worry about New York or California or Minnesota. But I'm afraid over the last few years, you know, not every county, but in a lot of our counties, a lot of the, you know, county attorneys and even law enforcement have been drinking too much the blue Kool-Aid. And they're keeping a lot of these arrests under wraps. And I'll leave it at that. But secondly, I think we could go maybe to MSU or UM and find one of the really smart tech students and maybe, you know, call him in and see if he wants to interview and then maybe go to some of the B or C high schools and find some of our really good, you know, our gaming guys or gals and, you know, submit their names to Elon Musk. And maybe we could get to the bottom of how a poor dirt farmer became a multimillionaire.
Good point. Very good point. All right. Well, that's also a good transition. Not that kind of transition. America's moving past that craziness. A good transition into the story that I planned on opening up the show with until Kelly in Glasgow sent me that story out of Wolf Point. All right, here we go. So follow the money. Yeah, how is it that so many of these people are getting rich off the government, which means they're getting rich off of you and me? We go to work to pay taxes. They take our money, and then they give it to their buddies. And then their buddies pocket the money. The universities right now are really under the microscope because of the huge administrative fees that they get when they get federal funding. Why do universities get more money than private sector research institutes would get or other nonprofits? Kind of interesting how much overhead and administrative costs are going to these universities that are being paid for with our taxpayer dollars. You guys have heard us talk about all the crazy stuff that's being funded by the U.S. Agency for International Development. That's what's really got Chuck Schumer and crew freaking out because they don't want to lose their slush fund. $7.9 million to teach Sri Lankan journalists how to avoid binary gendered language. $20 million for the Iraqi Sesame Street. $2 million for sex changes and LGBTQ activism in Guatemala. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. But what I want to talk about is the very organization that pushed to ban gas stoves has gotten a lot of your taxpayer money to be used against you. We'll start there next.
This is where Montana Talks Ag with Lane Nordlund.
Rebuilding the cattle herd is complex, with drought, aging ranchers, and financial recovery slowing expansion. Last week at CattleCon in Texas, I spoke with Terrain's Don Close, who shared key insights on the cattle herd's future.
At some point in time, that carrot attracting producers to expand is going to get so big that they're all going to want to buy a replacement female the same day. That event, that blow-off top in the market, is still ahead of us. We know from the last 2 weeks of reports, in all likelihood, we will see an additional but very small decline in numbers for Jan 1, 2026. You know, it could be 2027 before we see the chance of an increase in actual beef supplies. So I still think this market has a lot of runway ahead of it. A lot of things are going to have to fall into place to trigger that expansion.
The full podcast with Don Close can be found at Lane Nordlund Ag Broadcaster on Facebook. Also, over the weekend at the Fort Worth Stock Show, a grand champion steer sold for $375,000. That grand champion steer was sold by Madison Cope, the high bidders being Vaden's Acoustic and Drywall. In total, more than $10 million was raised for youth animal exhibitors at this year's Fort Worth Stock Show. I'm Lane Nordlund.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we'll jump right back into your phone calls here in just a second. But, yeah, so all the outrageous things that your money is being spent on, especially in the last 4 years. I mean, there's been fraud, waste, and abuse before, right? That's why they'd always release this pork barrel report every year. I think Rand Paul was a big part of that. But this is just on steroids, on transgender hormone therapy treatments with this waste, fraud, and abuse of funding that we've seen in the federal government in the last 4 years. I mean, you know, the $2 million for sex changes in Guatemala and so much more. $1.3 million to Arab and Jewish photographers. $1.1 million to an Armenian LGBTQ group. It just, it's nonstop when we talk about this waste, fraud, and abuse. But it's not limited to the U.S. Agency for International Development. These, what this deep state bureaucracy has been doing is they give money to organizations to actively work against you. They're taking your money and giving it to somebody else to go against you and your values or your pocketbook. So I remember there was this one day in a, I think it was a Fox News radio report, came out at the top of the hour. The Biden administration is looking to ban gas stoves. And then, of course, they wanted to ban all sorts of other gas appliances. But and then it was like, boom, that's what everybody wanted to talk about that day. Everybody wanted to talk about a ban on gas stoves. Robert Bryce, he is a great energy expert. I follow him on Substack. I first got to meet Robert Bryce. He's been a keynote speaker at the Montana Electric Cooperatives Association's annual meeting a few times now, at least two or three times. I think I've seen him there, if not more. Anyway, first a little backstory here. Evelyn Pyburn with the Big Sky Business Journal sent me this note. A report is out that the Rocky Mountain Institute in Colorado, which was the entity behind the claims that gas stoves were harmful to human health, a claim which has since been declared bogus by numerous health entities, is now trying to get the government to implement building codes that outlaw gas stoves and appliances. They are pushing this even though 69% of voters oppose bans on gas stoves. Anyway, Evelyn says, I point this out because it demonstrates where much of the building regulations come from that end up imposing so much costs on building a house. So if we wonder why housing is so expensive in Montana, especially in Montana cities, well, look at all of the costs just because of building codes alone. And the home builders will tell you this. They'll be like, yeah, some home builders won't even build in the city limits in Billings, for example, because they're like, no, it's too hard to deal with the city and all their regulations. But get this, Robert Bryce, this just got published this morning on his Substack. Rocky Mountain Institute wants to ban gas stoves. And yet it is getting funding from the NSF, the DOE, State Department, Transportation Department, the GSA, and the USTDA, to which he says, WTF? Since 2020, the Rocky Mountain Institute has been hyping bogus claims about the alleged danger of natural gas stoves. That year, the Colorado-based group claimed that gas stoves, quote, release toxic pollutants that can damage human health. But governments have done little to educate the public or accelerate the transition to all-electric cooking. Now, I don't know about you guys. I hate cooking eggs on an electric stove. I love cooking eggs on a gas stove. You just get the temperature just right. It just heats the pan, you know, perfectly all the way around. That's just one example, right? Okay, back to what Robert Bryce had to say here. In early 2023, RMI published a report that claimed that 12.7% of childhood asthma cases in the U.S. can be linked to gas stove use. That report got widespread news coverage. But just a day or two after those stories were published, the group walked back its claims, with one RMI official telling the Washington Examiner that the new study, quote, does not assume or estimate a causal relationship between childhood asthma and natural gas stoves. But anyway, it just begs the question here is, and especially to what Evelyn pointed out here with RMI now pushing all of these building codes across the country. Why is this outfit getting our money and then using our money against us? It's so typical of so many of these other scams that we've seen, anti-agriculture scams in our own government, some of the climate change hysteria where they use our money to push a certain agenda and push a certain narrative. And then when they tell us the glaciers are melting and then the glaciers haven't melted by the year they said they were going to melt, and they wonder why people are skeptical. 406-294-0970. Here we go. Let's get back into the phone lines. Bill in Bozeman next up. Bill, what's on your mind?
Good morning. I had an immigration enforcement question for you. since 1986, it has been the law of the land that employers check and verify that people are residents before they hire them, and so that's subject to civil and criminal penalties, the intent of that law, and that was an important provision in the last immigration reform bill that passed in the United States in 1986. So since 1986, it's been illegal for employers to hire undocumented workers. And my question for you is, don't you think that law should be enforced as much as other provisions of our immigration code? And if so, what do you think ought to be done to enforce by civil or criminal penalties those provisions? I mean, that would have raised tens of millions of dollars that could have been used for border protection or otherwise. But yeah. I'm unaware in the past, and I'm unaware now, of any enforcement action taken against employers who are hiring millions of undocumented workers. What do you think ought to be done about that?
Yeah, well, no, very clearly that law needs to be enforced. My follow-up question to you would have been, but I know we've got a little bit of a delay on our phone line for some reason today, or I would do the back and forth thing here, because my follow-up question back to you would have been, okay, so if you're an employer and you are going to hire somebody and you want to, and you have to get their proof of citizenship or their whatever their, you know, status is, et cetera, what system would you go to input the numbers, Social Security number, et cetera? Because what we know has been happening under the Biden regime, what they did was they told employers, oh, just enter all zeros into that system. The Biden regime was basically ordering businesses to break that law, to not even be able to verify the citizenship status before they hire these people. And it's just another reminder that everything they did to this country these last 4 years was deliberate. It was intentional across the board. And so I think you're going to see efforts at the federal level to enforce that law. And we're also hearing, I forget who it was, who's got legislation, but there is legislation in the Montana legislature to enforce that and come up with a Montana-specific enforcement mechanism as well. I forget who's carrying that legislation, but I know it's something that might even have bipartisan support as well. Because, see, the Democrats are all after – they're all about going after private businesses. They don't want to secure the borders, but if they got an opportunity to go after the businesses and make them the scapegoats for their open border policies, they'll be all about it. Yeah, Bill, great question. Thanks for the call. Perry in Columbus next up. Perry, what's on your mind?
Good morning, Aaron. Checking in from the giant icebox of South Central Montana this morning, where we've always known that the global warming scam was nothing but a lefty control scheme. And speaking of lefty control totalitarian schemes, I'm just going to go ahead and say the quiet part out loud. with all the radical American left screaming, crying, and gnashing of teeth over implementation of the agenda President Trump promised and won office with on full display. Elon Musk and Doge have now hit their vagus nerve by uncovering one of anti-Americanism's big slush fund black budget honeypots. This one goes by the name of USAID. You know, it should sicken every citizen to realize that is only one example of God knows how many deep state depositories where your own federal tax dollars have been used to poison traditional culture in this nation and around the world.
Hold that thought. What a great point there. This is just one example. Hold that thought, Perry. We'll come back to you right after this and get to our other callers as well.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Man, I know I probably should have just waited until after the break to get Perry and Columbus all fired up there because he's always got a great monologue. Let's pick up where we left off, though. Perry, you were talking about how, look, this USAID funding scandal, this is just one government agency. But wait, there's more.
That's right, Aaron. You know, and here's the ugliest part of all of this mess for your listeners to think about today. This isn't stupidity, incompetence, or even pure greed on their part. This is intentional Marxist evil. You know the pattern. Erase and rewrite history. Destroy faith in the family unit. Divide societies and cultures into warring factions. Then collapse their economies and conquer what's left. Dictators love ruling people with no hope or a way to fight back. So, Aaron, the question for you, two of them actually, why would a freedom-loving American ever vote for a radical leftist Democrat again? And why shouldn't we treat anyone that supports the destruction of our republic from within like the enemy of our future that they are?
Well, they'll show up in a couple years and they'll pretend to be something else. They'll pretend to be moderate. Look at me on my tractor. Look at me. I've got a bolo tie. They'll pretend to be something they aren't. And then some people will fall for it again. And it's the ebb and flow, you know. Hard times create good men. Good men create good times. Good times create weak men. And, yeah, then round and round we go. It's the story of life, you know. It's like I wonder, did our country it's just sad that our country had to go through all the pain of the last 4 years to finally get some folks to wake up. Perry, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. It was kind of like, you know, a lot of people, when they saw what Bullock did as the governor of Montana in 2020, I think they were like, oh my goodness, what in the world happened to these guys? What happened to this party? Thad in Livingston joining the party right now. Thad, listening to KPRK. What's on your mind, Thad?
Well, I just was reading this morning that they found $59 million that went to the city of New York for housing immigrants after Trump had shut that stuff down, after Doge had found it, it still got pushed through. So there's a couple things here. First of all, like you said just a second ago, there's other ways that these guys are getting paid and accepting payments. And that money's been sitting there to take care of this nonsense. And it's got to be taken care of. It's got to be shut down. So this money isn't continually rolling through and being taken out of our pockets and wasted on things that the American people put the mandate forward. We voted for this to stop the bleeding.
Yeah, well said. Well said. And that's why Chuck Schumer, like a previous caller said, this USAID funding has really struck a nerve. Not just with Schumer, but some of the very same folks on the left in their media outlets that are pocketing our taxpayer dollars, because this is how they fund their buddies. This is how they fund their community organizers. This is how they get the money filtered back into their campaigns. Elon Musk earlier this morning to what Thad has just called in about right there said this. He said the DOGE team, the Department of Government Efficiency, just discovered that FEMA sent $59 million last week, all caps, to luxury hotels in New York City to house illegal migrants. Sending this money violated the law and is in gross insubordination to the president's executive order. That money is meant for American disasters. It just shows. And that's why if anybody clutches their pearls, oh, why is Trump criticizing FEMA? That's why. Right there. Chris in Columbia Falls next up. Chris, what's on your mind?
Yeah, so now, since Richard Nixon was the last one to really, really, really attack these people. So when you're, as it was said on this program many times, when you're at the edge of the cliff, two step backwards is progress. So Congress shut him down, and this caused all of the flim-flam people to get in charge. And they've been doing this ever since then. So you have the budget control, the Budget Impoundment Control Act, which I'm not sure that it's still intact. So you got this to stop the chief executive, someone like, you know, Elon Musk, someone like Trump, and to, you know, they can't do it now because he's cleaned house in so many different ways. But they're still there. Schumer, we will win. You know, what does that mean? You know, or Morning Joe or Cuomo, they started off to be more conservative. Now they've gone right back to where they started from. So you got these people with things still in place. You know, what about judges? Judges, there's still people there that can still control things and block. A couple of things that maybe you know. Who controls the mortgage rates up and down? Is it the president? Does he have power to do that, or does he have to work through another agency, you know?
Well, yeah, with the interest rates, of course, then you get the Federal Reserve involved, which, by the way, did you guys see that from Elon Musk as well? Let's see. Tara Bull on X said Elon Musk is considering to have Ron Paul head up an audit of the Federal Reserve. And Elon Musk replied, he said, this will be great. So Elon Musk is going to have Ron Paul head up an audit of the Federal Reserve. How many of you have been calling into shows like this for years saying audit the Fed?